It's time for Dictionary of Sydney, and today we're going to be talking about Charles Bertie, who's a little bit of a hero of our guests. He was a librarian, researcher, collector, and historian, and he championed the history of Sydney. Lisa Murray from Dictionary of Sydney, how are you?
I'm really well, Willie. Great to be here.
Yeah, now Charles Bertie, he does sound like a little bit of a champion. Tell us why he's a hero of yours.
Well, I think the Dictionary of Sydney is all about making Sydney's history really accessible and interesting and popular. And if Charles Bertie was alive today, he'd be right into the dictionary. He would be talking to you instead of me, I think.
We'd have both of you.
So he was the first librarian of Sydney Municipal Council. But he was a lot more than that. He was, as you said, a bit of a collector. He was an antiquarian. He collected books. He did lots of research. And he sort of became recognised as this authority on old Sydney in the early 20th century. This is, you know, when he was really came to prominence. And I suppose for me, he's a bit of a hero for me as well, because my day job is actually as the city historian at Sydney City Council.
Oh.
And so I sort of feel like he's my predecessor, you know, from 100 years ago. Setting the scene and really encouraging people to think about Sydney's history, which is what I do today. So I kind of have a lot of respect for him. And I think he must have been a really interesting person. So let me tell you a little bit about him, because I'm sure no one else has ever heard
of him. Until speaking with you, I had never heard of Charles Bertie, but he sounds like a good bloke.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of one of – so he's an interesting person because he's born in 1875. He starts working for Sydney Municipal Council in 1890, but he actually starts just as a junior clerk at the age of 15 – in the city surveyors department. So, you know, he's not training as a librarian or anything like that at this stage. He's just sort of getting to be going to work, earning a crust and learning about administration. But he was kind of ambitious, engaged youth. He attended night classes at Sydney University.
Yep.
And he was interested in literature.
Oh, okay.
So he began writing literary articles. There weren't really public lending libraries at all like we've got today. So, you know, most people in Sydney, if they want to borrow books, they might go to their local council library, their public library, and borrow a book or something. They didn't exist in the late 19th century. They were all pretty much the only lending libraries were private and you had to sort of pay to join them and stuff. But he got involved in those and book clubs and things like that. And so by the age of 24, he was actually the chief clerk in the city surveyor's office.
Oh, wow.
And he held that for 10 years. So he was sort of, you know, pursuing his literary interests out, but he's becoming a really good administrator and in his day job. And then 1909 is the year that changes him and really changes Sydney's history, because in that year, Sydney Municipal Council actually inherited the lending branch of the New South Wales Public Library, which is now the State Library of New South Wales.
Right.
So there's a long history of how the State Library of New South Wales developed, but it does, after a while, have this small lending branch. But it's really old and it wasn't well used. And the start of the 20th century, the State Library decided, amongst other reasons, because it gets a massive bequest from the Mitchell, David Scott Mitchell, they decide, okay, we're going to become this, you know, Australia's top research and reference library and collect all this material. So we don't really need this lending branch. We'll give it to Sydney Municipal Council.
Right.
Okay. Okay, that's cool. Take it on. And so it is, in fact, becomes the first municipal, you know, public council library in New South Wales. And so they had to have a librarian to transform the library and make it relevant to the people living and working in the city of Sydney. And Charles Bertie saw this opportunity, he was like, oh,
"This is my break.
This is my break. I love writing. I've got ambition." And so he applied for it, and he nailed it. He got the job. Anyway, so he revitalized this moribund public lending library. He improved its profile. He improved its facilities. He got it moved into the Queen Victoria building. So it was like really prominent and easy to access in the city. He reorganized the whole system, cataloging system. For anyone who's borrowed a book from a public library, then, you're using the Dewey system. Well, he applied that for the first time to this lending library.
Charles Bertie. Oh, my God.
And how radical is this? He introduced open access to allow readers to browse the books on the shelves.
Oh, my God. Charles Bertie, you have saved me so many times by just being able to flick through and read a page and go, yep, that sounds like me, or no, that doesn't sound like me.
Exactly. Before that, if you wanted either at the lending branch at the State Library or in a lot of private lending libraries, you had to say, I'm interested in this book. Can I please borrow it? And then they'd go off and get it and either give it to you or they'd post it to you, depending on what. So this was radical change.
Charles Bertie, so ahead of his time. But he doesn't just, he writes and ends up being in papers and being widely read, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right. So once he sort of provides reading for all, including a children's library. He introduces the first separate children's library, first of its kind in Australia. So, reading for all, he's publishing bulletins about different types of books, encouraging people to read. He sort of moves on into like really pursuing his literary stuff and moving into researching Sydney's history. And he writes both fiction and non-fiction pieces, which he publishes in literary magazines, but he starts to get involved in the Australian Historical Society, which was formed in 1901, and a few of his friends were involved in it. So he joined in 1909, the year that, that made him. So, and the first thing he writes is and presents to the society is a history on Sydney Municipal Council and the Municipal History of Sydney, which makes sense because he's worked at the organisation
kind of
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then from there he just launches out and he's like, he writes about sort of the early colonial history. He writes a book on Vaucluse House. He writes a pamphlet on Isaac Nathan, Australia's first composer. We've got an article about Isaac Nathan in the dictionary. And the history of George Street. And then he goes on to just do stuff about old Sydney streets and does his really popular stuff. He starts writing for the newspapers like the Sun, the Daily Telegraph, the Evening News.
Charles Bertie.
he first starts like writing letters, but then they're like, Charles Bertie, he's the city librarian. He knows about this stuff, he's researching it. So they give him columns. So he starts doing a regular history column. And he just keeps researching and writing and publishing to sort of at all different levels. So he always sort of kept presenting papers and being involved in the Royal Australian Historical Society, as they became known later on. But then he also did these little smaller publications that were very popular that, like mini coffee table books that people could buy and give as presents and,
Oh, wow.
So he was sort of at all levels. And yeah. I think what I really get excited about is that he was all about sharing knowledge. So because he was a city librarian, because he wrote in the newspapers, he had a public profile through much of the first half of the 20th century. And lots of people wrote to Charles Bertie to share information or to seek information. So no internet in the early 20th century. You had to sort of...
Charles Bertie was the connecting force.
Exactly. That's exactly it, Willie. He was like, he's like the node that was just connecting all these people together. And his personal papers are held at the Mitchell Library.
Oh, right.
And I've had a bit of a look at them, and you get a real sense of his enthusiasm and his generosity, which he shared his knowledge. He always sort of shared references and tidbits, always hoping to advance historical knowledge. And he always acknowledged other people when he was writing, like, oh, you know, this person shared this with me, or so-and-so got in touch and, you know, gave me a new take on this. So before we thought this, but now, you know, so he was always sort of showing people, in a way, how to do historical research as well.
Oh, my God, Lisa Murray, we have run out of time, but Charles Bertie, definitely, I mean, I know many mothers who owe Charles Bertie a great debt because they go to the children's library and they take out, you know, 30 books a week to read to their little ones. And Charles Bertie, what a legend. Hey, thank you so much for all of that insight. It was so great.
It's my pleasure, Willie.